The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Well, hello there, and welcome to the July 2023 reading of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. Our theme this month is Taste of Summer. And I guess I need to begin with a little apology for those of you who are regular listeners and wondered why there was a repeated recording last week. It's because I came back from an overseas vacation and promptly tested positive for COVID for the first time. And one of the symptoms was laryngitis. So it took a week to recover, and I apologize for not being able to record. And you may hear me clear my throat a few times, and if I have to cough, I'll try to hit that pause button and not annoy you with that. Hope I get through this okay. We're going to start, as usual, with the From Elizabeth column. She is the editor-in-chief of Our State magazine, and she entitles her column this month, In the Still of the Night. We were dogs chasing our tails, aimlessly cruising in our cars on warm summer nights, driving a three-mile strip of road in a path laid out by the generation before us, making one continuous loop up and down Fayetteville Street, like goldfish circling in a bowl, like satellites orbiting stars. $10 filled the tank for the night, and we drove from Hardee's on the south end of Ashboro to Northgate Plaza, a shopping center anchored by a movie theater, an Eckerd drug, a Rose's discount store, and a huge parking lot with 300 spaces, temporary landing pads that let us idle and chat with friends through our rolled-down windows, music booming from car speakers, before we peeled away to join the procession again, someone making the inevitable burnout, shredding rubber, engine revvings, wheels spinning, a thunderous and rumbling anthem of summer. When we weren't in motion, we came to rest at Sonic Drive-In, slinging open our doors and hopping out to roost on bumpers, to lounge on hoods, slurping our lime slushies, and taking a front row seat to the parade of cars rolling through, their horns amplified under the flat top roof. We added our own accompaniments to this rhythm of the night, our hoots and hollers, our unrestrained, carefree laughter. We listen, mostly, to the soundtrack of a small town, playing in the spaces we knew best. We heard reverent renditions of the Star Spangled Banner, sung from the infield at McCrary Park, for which we all stood with our hands over our hearts, then cheered for home runs during Legion baseball games. We listened for the clink of tokens dropping and the electronic pings and tings from the video games in the arcade at the mall. We heard the soft thwack of pink and yellow and orange golf balls dropping into their cups on the putt-putt course, greens illuminated by spotlights that shine brighter than the moon. In our cars, we stored shoeboxes full of cassette tapes in our backpacks, or rather back seats, pressing play and rewind, on the same songs in the tape player all summer long so that we could learn the lyrics to music that's now considered classic. When in the world did that happen? And in between, we twirled the radio dial, fine-tuning a signal when static overtook a station. Sometimes we turned the music off entirely and listened to the wind rushing past on the way back home, welcoming the silence of the night, soothed by the haunting hoo-hoo of owls we couldn't see, calmed by the staticky pitch of cicadas, their undulating song rising and falling, a refrain reminding us that the music keeps going, that all the songs we know by heart play on. And now, as I do every first reading of the month, I am going to help interpret the pictorial for you. The pictorial this month is about fruit. It's called Fruitful. From our fertile soils burst a colorful bounty. With hard work and a tender touch, farmers across the state provide us with a sweet taste of summer. Written by Rebecca Waltz. First page here shows two whole peaches and one that's been cut up, the pit on one half of it, the other half having a little dark hole. You know, the inside surface, the outside is a sort of a dark orange, and the inside is a light yellowish orange. But when you get to that pit, it's brown. And when you remove the pit, it's as if there's a little stain left over. It's, I don't know that it really is a stain. It's where the pit has pushed into the flesh of the peach, but it leaves sort of a reddish-brown mark. On the next page, pardon me as I need to keep sipping water to keep my voice going, there is a very happy young man. Oh, I'd say he's about 10 years old. He is holding a peach ice cream cone, and his shirt says Kalawi Farm, and it's written on a peach with two green leaves atop. He's wearing a Kalawi Farm hat also. I think it says Eagle Springs, North Carolina, underneath. He's standing in front of a log cabin. He's very happy. Nash Tucker. Well, I was off by a couple of years. 12 years old. The third of peach farmer Jan Williams' 10 grandchildren. Enjoys this homemade peach ice cream that his grandmother makes in Kalawi Farm in Moore County. Overleaf, we have a picture which expands beyond the one page onto part of the second page. It's sections of four baskets that are filled with peaches, no doubt sitting in a farm stand for sale as such. This is about Kalawi Farm in Eagle Springs. When Jan Williams was growing up, her mother made peach ice cream every Sunday when the fruits were in season. Now this third-generation peach farmer offers homemade peach ice cream and other flavors, including 10 named for each of her grandchildren, at Ben's Ice Cream at Kalawi Farm. At her produce stand next door, she sells 43 varieties of peaches, plus preserves and other produce. Williams, who was a teacher for 10 years before making the farm her full-time job, says that the business is in her blood. "It just gives me a thrill," she says. "I love farming and growing peaches." Now, they're at 1515 North Carolina, Highway 211. They have a website, Kalawi Farm. That's kalawifarm.net. And here's some of the products they sell. Peach preserves in a typical preserves jar. And there's the lady, Jan Williams, and her husband, Art, combined the first two letters of the names of their first three children to create the name Kalawi. And they named the ice cream stand for their fourth child. Ben, who's pictured with his son, Wade, who we already have seen. No, this is a different child. This is Wade. It looks like the same child to me, but that says Nash Tucker on the front, and this says Wade, 10 years old. Boy, they're lookalikes. Also makes peach preserves when using his mother's recipe. Overleaf, a nice picture of a peach tree with its fruit ready to pick, the sun bursting through the leaves in the background. And now we move on to peaches at Johnson's Peaches in Candor. Here's a picture of a senior gentleman with a hat. His face is kind of scrunched up because he is eating a peach and he is enjoying it. On his farm in Candor, Benton Johnson grows about 70 acres of peach trees, including autumn princesses. Unlike most varieties, which are available during the summer, these peaches don't ripen until September. Third-generation peach grower Benton Johnson remembers selling peaches out of an old pack house as a boy. Today, he sells more than 35 varieties at his indoor market, along with watermelons, cantaloupes, okra, and other produce that he grows on his farm. The market also sells peach jams and jellies, peach cider, and baked goods, including the popular peach dumplings. Johnson doesn't know where the recipe originated, but oh my goodness, he says, people drive for miles for a peach dumpling. Now, they're at Tabernacle Church Road, and they have a Facebook page called Johnson Peaches NC. Overleaf, Ridgeway Cantaloupes. Now, we're taking a long shot across the farm. I'm guessing in the foreground, this is going to tell us where the cantaloupes grow. And in the background, there are some big trees and an old, very classic barn, two stories high with a very steep roof. Beautiful blue North Carolina sky with some clouds, but what do you expect? Every summer for more than 50 years, Richard Holtzman Jr. has sold cantaloupes. He started selling them out of a red wagon, then out of a cart hooked to the back of a red 1965 Plymouth Fury parked at the end of his driveway, about a mile north of Ridgeway. His father, both grandfathers, and he reckons most of his great-grandfathers grew cantaloupes there. Farmers began planting the fruit on the Warren County community following the Civil War, looking for a crop that would flourish in soil depleted by cotton and tobacco. The red loamy dirt proved perfect for the melons, and the town became famous for the extra sweet variety it produced. As for Holtzman, he plans to keep planting and selling cantaloupes as long as he's able, carrying on a community legacy that's lasted for generations. Some photos here. Close-up of cantaloupes in a basket, looking very familiar since I had one for breakfast today. And there's a little sign. It's written as if it's on the side of a cantaloupe. It has that coloring, Ridgeway Cantaloupes for sale. And then down at the bottom, some cut-up cantaloupe in a bowl with a caption that says, Ridgeway's annual cantaloupe festival featuring historical displays, kids' rides, horseback rides, craft vendors, and local entertainment will take place this year on July 15th. And now we turn to Bogue Sound watermelons. I think we grow pretty good watermelons, Clayton Garner Jr. says, modestly. All of the watermelons at his third-generation family farm are picked when they're ripe, and Garner sells most of them in the produce stand that he operates with his wife, Sherry, in Newport. Many believe that the sandy soil in the Bogue Sound area make the melons sweeter than those grown elsewhere. Garner Farms grows several varieties each year, including the popular Sweet Gem, bright red on the inside, with a nearly solid dark green rind. They're on Sam Garner Road, and they're also on Facebook, Garner Farms NC. Here's the pictures. They're cut up, and indeed, they're bright red on the inside with a classic row of watermelon seed that one way or the other you need to get out of there before you swallow. And the very green outside. And here's a close-up of one. It says Clayton Gardner Jr. knows that his melons are ready to be eaten when he cuts one from the vine, stands it on its end, and comes back a few minutes later to find red juice oozing out of the stem. That's an interesting way to find it, but of course you can't do that in the store very well. And here it is on the vine, resting against the ground, where undoubtedly it's getting a little flat spot, but there are rows of a dark green and light green striping in irregular lines going a long way. How about strawberries at the Berry Patch in Ellerbe? Former Ellerbe Mayor Lee Berry, that's his real name, caught the farming bug while working a summer job after high school. He started his own strawberry farm in 1994 and later added an open-air roadside market. It was his wife, Amy, who had the idea for the world's largest strawberry, an ice cream stand built to resemble a 24-foot-tall, 484-square-foot berry. And indeed, here is a picture of it, some kids happily running up to it. It looks like the top of a strawberry. The roof has a green edge to it, and it has something sticking out the top. It's a pretty poor excuse for a stem, but there is something up there anyway. And then down below, it's the red of a strawberry with the little tiny yellow marks that we don't really think of, but they're there on the outside of the strawberry, like tiny little seeds. And then there's a couple of windows in the outside where they serve people, and there's a small line forming at the end. When asked if the Berry Patch's ice cream stand is really housed in the world's largest strawberry, owner Larry Lee Berry replies, "I've never seen one bigger." Juliana Ciprani and Easton McCauley, ages 11 and 9, enjoy the cold treats found inside. And here they are, two young folks, big smiles on their faces. The girl, they're both holding waffle cones. The girl has two big scoops of ice cream, and the boy, as to be expected, has three. And I guess that's what they're smiling about. Strawberries, the Berry Patch in Ellerbe. Lee and Amy Berry make 20 flavors of ice cream. Strawberries, the most popular, of course, in old-fashioned churns using rock, salt, and ice. I have refused to go to the modern machines that make it quicker, more efficient, Lee says. I started this way, and my customers like knowing that's how I make it. When you make the ice cream like I do, it takes 35 minutes to make a batch, and it has more time to marinate. The flavors spread more, Lee says, that the right ingredients, in addition to the right equipment, are the secret to a quality ice cream. Heavy butterfat cream and berries picked at the peak of ripeness. They're at Cargo Road, world's largest strawberry.com. Close-ups here of, this looks like a waffle cone in a bowl, and then it's filled with strawberries and dots of cream and maybe a little strawberry jam dribbling down underneath one of those strawberries. And then there's a basket on the right here. It's a white basket. It's got ventilation holes, and it is filled with strawberries. It says the Berry Patch owners, Lee and Amy Berry, freeze 6,000 pounds of strawberries each spring so they can offer their premium ice cream year-round. Muscadine grape at Cypress Bend Vineyards in Wagram. The 35 acres of muscadine grapes that Tina and Dan Smith planted for Cypress Bend Vineyards are part of a 1,000-acre plot of land that Dan's ancestors purchased when they came over from Scotland in 1807. The couple wanted to continue the family's tradition of farming, and Dan's father was growing muscadines on a smaller scale for juice and jellies. The Smiths discovered that their mix of sandy and clay soil was perfect for growing the grapes. Now, more than two decades later, the winery produces 14 wines. Visitors to the tasting room can pack a picnic and sit on the patio, take a tour, or pick their own grapes from the vineyard from late summer to early fall. They're on Riverton Road, and the website is cypressbendvineyards.com. Pictures here. Here's a close-up of green muscadine grapes in small bunches growing on vines. Then there's three of their wines. They have the Cypress Bend Vineyard label. Interestingly, the labels are different colors on the different bottles, even though they're all red. We have a black and sort of an orangey-yellow one, and then white. And I can't read what the actual flavors are or how they choose to name these particular bottles. And then there's a pretty front entrance taken in the evening with the lights on down at the winery. And on the second page is a picture of all the grapes growing on a very heavy wood structure to hold them up, row after row after row, and neatly trimmed grass both around the edges and between the lines of vines, which are probably extend a foot and a half to 2 feet over the top of the heavy wooden structure. And when I say heavy wood, it looks like it's maybe it's round, but probably at least 4 inches, I would say. Cypress Bend Vineyard owners Tina and Dan Smith found a new way to use the land that Dan's ancestors farmed for generations, muscadine grapes that they use to make wine. How about blueberries at Old Carolina Eatery in Burgaw? Frances Burns learned how to cook and bake from her mother. Without using written recipes, never measuring anything, today the owner of the Old Carolina Eatery often rolls out the crust for her famous blueberry pie using her mother's rolling pin. And when it's ready, golden brown, steaming, with a sweet scent almost like honeysuckle, she sometimes slices it with her mother's pie knife. Another thing that came from her mother, the belief that appearance isn't what matters with food. The taste, the texture, the comfort, the warmth, the feeling that you get when you take a bite, she says. That's all that counts. They're on West Fremont Road. Again on Facebook, Old, with an E after it, Carolina Eatery. There are close-ups of what they sell here. This looks like cheesecake with blueberries on top. Mm-mm. And then some blueberry muffins in a round bowl with some, looks like probably butter to go in little cups in the center. And then we've got some preserves. And each preserve, before you put that outer part of the screw top on, is covered with a little piece of red gingham cloth. It's very, very pretty. And then here's a picture of Frances in her work outfit, leaning on the counter and giving us a big happy smile. Here's a close-up of blueberries being in sauce being dropped on vanilla ice cream on top of a piece of blueberry pie. This is too close. This is just ready to eat off the page. It says, for all of Old Carolina Eatery's blueberry goodies, including pies, muffins, cookies, biscuits, cakes, cheesecakes, strudels, and jams, owner Frances Burns starts with fresh Pender County blueberries. How about apples? Justice Orchard in Hendersonville. John Justice's mother, Glenda, was one of the first growers in Hendersonville to offer you-pick drape, or rather, you-pick apples. When Don became the fourth generation to take over the family farm, he expanded the agritourism business. Now Justice Orchard offers a host of activities on weekends during the fall apple season, including a playground, a miniature train, apple cannons, barbecues, and a bakery. But U-Pick is still an important part of the business. We know how important it is for some kids to realize that this stuff is not grown on a grocery store shelf, Justice says. The parents or the grandparents want to bring the kids out to see where and how it's actually grown. They're on Garin Road, justusorchard.com. There's a long shot of the orchard here. The sun is very bright, and its rays are blotting out some of the orchard here on the left-hand side. We see row after row of trees. And there's some pictures on the right-hand side, too. It says, fried apple pies, apple cider donuts, caramel apples, and hot and cold cider are on the menu at the Justice Orchard Apple House Bakery. There's a close-up here of some, well, what do you call those? They're like little crusts that have been folded over, and the edge has been, there's a name for it, I don't remember. It looks like the outer edge of a piece of pie because it's all sealed on the edge. And then there's some sticky buns and some small donuts on the tray. Part of the sign, which says apple cider, fried apple something, whole apple something, apple fritters, apple slice, and caramel, and a close-up of apples on the tree. That's actually the end of the formal photo essay, but there's some more pictures on the next page. And this is the Ocracoke Fig Festival. Occurs August 4th to 5th. Figs have been an important part of Ocracoke culture since the trees were first planted there by English colonists. And the way that the fruits are used on the island continues to evolve. In the 1960s, Margaret Garrett invented the Ocracoke fig cake by using fig preserves in an applesauce cake recipe. Today, the fig cake bake-off is the main event at the Ocracoke Fig Festival. Now in its 10th year, the event is hosted by the Ocracoke Preservation Society on the first weekend of August. Visitors can purchase fig trees and food and art featuring fruit or dance the Ocracoke Square Dance. To find out more about the fruit festivals across the state, visit ourstate.com/fruitfestivals. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.